Good Monday afternoon here at WDAY Radio. Thanks for being a part of Weather and Ag in Focus. Well, I'm sorry if you missed it. We had the Flag Day celebration here in the parking lot. Food vendors, which, by the way, I'm told, highly recommend the Top Dog hot dog, Chicago style.
I hear they're good.
So making sure that everybody's getting fed in the neighborhood, you might say. It was free lunch for all of those who are emergency responders. In fact, they are such good emergency responders. Some of them literally had to run to their fire truck and take off. I hope they got to eat first. I hope they weren't just waiting in line for their food.
Hopefully that'd be, you can drive and eat at the, I retract that statement. I don't think I could drive a fire truck and eat a hot dog at the same time.
I would say maybe put the hot dog down. There was a smaller the fire department vehicle that took off. He was able to kind of spin a U-ey and get out of here. The large pumper truck, they needed a little more turnaround space, so they were going to take a little time. I am told that firemen are super good at putting out fires. They may not always be so good at remembering how big those fire trucks are, and there can be some scratches and dents that happen in time. So
whoopsie.
Well, that's careful. Okay. Careful. And that's not what Addison and I do. I'm Ag Director Bridget Riedel, and I just talk about farming. I don't have to worry about how to drive the fire truck. But thanks to those who do, as well as ambulance, sheriff, deputies, and local police who stopped by today. We were glad to have all of you here. Lunch was awesome. Thank you to Detroit Deli, as well as Top Dog Hot Dogs. We also had, was it Patty's Breakfast Sandwiches? We had another burgers and so forth. And then let's not forget Brad Smith's new ice cream truck was here. There was a kid who went by me. You know how you get the little plastic nacho containers at a ball game?
Yeah.
The cheese dip area was full of soft serve ice cream. And then the chip part was full of waffle cookies, like the waffle cones made into cookies. I thought it was a fantastic idea. I was incredibly proud of him and also glad that wasn't getting in my pickup for the ride home because it wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, no, it probably wouldn't have.
No, it looked like it was going to be a little bit on the messy side. But I think a good time was had by all. Lots of prizes given away. And again, thanks to all of those who stopped by, our folks who are military, active military veterans, as well as first responders. When you live in a small town, as Jay Stenman and I were talking about out in the parking lot, he's one of our sports guys. When you live in a small town, you understand the value of having those volunteers and the things that they can do because they have to drop what they're doing to come to protect you, whether it's because of fire, an ambulance call, and so much more. And we thank them every day for all the things that they do. There is a great day ahead of us. If you are curious what your sunflower planting forecast might look like, here's my take on it. We just started to see some cloud cover roll in probably within the last 45 minutes. And here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, we're looking at about a 30% chance of rainfall. But we're at a high of about 74 degrees. Nice day out there. And when the sun's out, feels kind of warmish. When it's not, when it was clouded over and there's a little breeze, incredibly comfortable. We may see some scattered showers overnight. And we're looking for highs in that 73 range Tuesday, Wednesday, where we have another chance of showers. And then we're going to go roll through the rest of the week right around 75. Friday might be a little bit of a high point. So if you're in the field and you're trying to get things done, I am keeping my fingers crossed that the wind is down. Remember, everybody wants a 3 to 10 mile an hour wind so we can go ahead and get all those fields sprayed. I had a picture sent to me just before the show started. I'm pretty much a mat of kochia. This is over in Stutzman County. And it's an unfortunate situation. Sometimes these things do happen. And in this situation, because of a need to plant quickly, the pre-emergent herbicides did not get out in time. And then there has been spotty rainfall that's kept them out of the field, as well as wind in order to get some of that post-application sprayed. So running a little bit late, but hopefully they're able to get in there sooner rather than later because we do not want that kochia to get away from us. Well, now, if you have questions, whether it's about the weather, some headlines we may have, you're welcome to give me a call. The JLA insurance phone line already lit up with a call. Someone took advantage of that. Maybe they were just calling to see how Addison's doing. And they do that at 701-293-9000. We are so happy to have you join us with whatever your questions and comments may be. You can send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com as well. I'll keep my email inbox open. And you'll be able to watch us on the Lighthouse Commodities live stream. It's just like watching TV. Facebook, YouTube, and then as well as Acres TV. On Acres TV, if you're not familiar, is the social media platform brought to us by Ag PhD Media. It's a little bit like watching the Netflix of agriculture, channels of all sorts of information for you to take a look at. Thrilled to have you all be a part of that. Couple of updates, things that are going on in the neighborhood, you might say. Steffes Auctions is having a big sale. This will be on June 17th, so if today's the 15th, it's coming up on Wednesday. This is the Seeley Farms Retirement Auction in Regan. It will be a live on-site auction as well as online. Starts at 9 a.m. Great lineup of excellent late model equipment, hopper bins, trucks, trailers, and so much more. Go check them out at thesteffesgroup.com. Also, this Thursday on June. Let's not go to July. I don't need July yet. I just need June. There is, in fact, a big deals auction for you. Coles Resort on Big Turtle Lake, which is 12 miles north of Bemidji. It's a $1,500 value. This auction's going on from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. here on our WDAY RadioNow.com website. You can buy this $1,500 value at a lower price, potentially. Indoor swimming pool, fish Big Turtle Lake right in front of your cabin. There are 30 minutes to 30 different lakes for fishing, an arcade. They are dog friendly, and they happen to have the Liar's Lounge. Sounds like a good idea to me. So you want to check that out as well. And I thought it was interesting to note that there is an up-and-coming farm consignment sale, and this will be July 9th down in Penfield, Illinois. It's actually Historic Farm Days Consignment Auction, and it's all antique tractors, gas engines, and muscle tractors. If you have an interest in looking at some of that, again, you can always drop me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. I'll get the link for you. That's put on by Kerr Auction, K-E-R-R, auction.com. Okay, last one. Things for you to know and update. Write this down. Ready to feel amazing every day? Because who doesn't want to? Personally, you can all tell I'm a little stuffed up. I'd rather feel amazing. And you can do that when you go to the Hot Tub and Sauna Store in West Fargo. Look at their Caldera Spas. Hot tubs built for pure comfort, efficient energy use, which we all want to see on our energy bills, and easy saltwater maintenance. You can come home every day and soak your troubles away. Remember that old commercial, Calgon, take me away? You could be doing it with your own spa. And for serious health benefits, step into the Finlow Sauna. You can drain, detox, and truly relax right at home. They're next to Costco out in West Fargo. I would tell you to go when the traffic's down at Costco, which is the first of never, so just be safe out there when you're driving. Good luck getting there from here, you might say. All right, a couple of headlines to get into. We want to talk about the fact that with the Farm Rescue locally, they have named a new executive director. For those of you familiar, Farm Rescue is based right here in North Dakota, started by North Dakota native Bill Gross from Jamestown. And Farm Rescue gives a helping hand when farmers may be sick or injured. And there's planting, haying, as well as harvesting to be done, and so much more. Their new executive director is fifth-generation Nebraska farmer Sherry Rogers Fiddler, and she was recently selected to fill that leadership position. One of her goals is to help further strengthen relationships with the organization's volunteers and also to look at helping more farm families in a wider area. Since 2025, in just 21 short years, Farm Rescue as a nonprofit has helped more than 1,300 families from across the region in 11 different states, and the need isn't slowing down. There's always a growing need for assistance, and some of the most recent leadership has shown that this organization has been there for people in situations where there was a death in the family, injury due to a farm accident or other illness diagnoses such as cancer, and they have been able to step on in with volunteers and equipment to make sure that things get done in a timely fashion and the farm keeps operating. So thank you to Farm Rescue, and welcome to their new executive director, Sherry Fiddler. All right. Also, as Minnesota approaches the heart of the 2026 growing season, a reminder, Minnesota Department of Ag is telling you that your licensed and certified applicators, that you need a state-specific dicamba restriction training for over-the-top treatments of in dicamba-tolerant soybeans. The restrictions are designed to help reduce off-target movement, protect neighboring crops in sensitive areas. If you are going to be spraying Ingenia, Tavium, or Striax from Bayer, these are registered for use with dicamba-tolerant soybeans in Minnesota for the year. All three products carry mandatory Minnesota-specific restrictions in addition to your federal label restrictions. And so, as you are approaching spray season, and some of you are definitely in the thick of it, you're going to want to make sure to take care of these Minnesota licensing restrictions and take care of those within the state before you're doing applying. All right. Remember that the cutoff dates in Minnesota, if you are south of I-94, you can no longer apply after June 12th. We're past it. North of I-94, you still have the opportunity to go to June 30th. So look for that requirement, which is has been out there for a couple of years now. All right. After we pick up the livestock market update from the American Ag Network, we have the opportunity to talk with the Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Teacher of the Year. That's Marie Kruse. And I look forward to visiting with Marie, sharing her tips and tricks of how things work in the classroom when she's sharing the great story of agriculture. We'll do that when we return. So many good things happen in agriculture, and some of them start in our classrooms. Personally, I love going into fourth grade rooms because those kids are so inquisitive. They're at the right stage where they like to ask questions. They're willing to pay attention, and they haven't decided how much attitude they have yet. Well, we're going to visit next with the Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Teacher of the Year, Marie Kruse, because Marie has to see it every single day, and she makes sure that that attitude is met with nothing but fun and positivity about agriculture. Marie, did I get it right? Is it Kruse?
It's Kruse.
Kruse, okay.
But thank you.
All right, where do you teach? Tell us more about what you do in Minnesota.
Well, thanks for having me, Bridget. I am from Lake City, Minnesota, and I teach kindergarten here in the classroom. I've been teaching for a little over 20 years, so it's very enjoyable.
Well, first of all, this is a real treat for anybody who's on our Lighthouse Commodities live stream, because you have a whole farm set up in front of you, and that's not just the Fisher-Price barn I drag around with me like a purse. You've got a custom-made one sitting there, and I'm guessing that's in your classroom fairly often.
Yes. So we start with the barn in the fall and learn about the different animals and the different plants and things like that that can go with it. And then we have been adding on and adding on to get it all the way from the farm to the table. So now, you know, they're making the wheat into bread, and they're buying the bread at the grocery store, and then they're taking it to a little station that they have for their house, and they're making peanut butter and jelly. So it's really neat to see it progress throughout the year.
Now, some would argue and say that kindergartners, they're too young to be talking about some of these concepts. I'm guessing they're not.
Well, we still have a little bit of play in kindergarten. It's changed a lot over the years, but, you know, they have the kitchen where they can play, and they have building blocks and things like that. And I got to thinking, well, why aren't we bringing these farm toys and allowing that for kids to play with? Because the farm kids have the farm toys, but maybe not the kids from the city or farther generations away from the farm. So
are you from a farm as well? So that was kind of the budding enthusiasm you brought to the classroom with you?
Yes, I grew up on a farm in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. And with that family farm, then I was heavily involved in FFA and 4-H, things like that. And when I had the opportunity to join with the agriculture in the classroom, it's been a really neat thing that has evolved. And when I went away to college, it was, do I want to be a FFA advisor, an ag teacher for high school, or do I want to teach the littles? And the littles with their drippy noses and snow boots that I have to help get on and run. So, but it's really neat that I can bring this piece of it to the classroom as well.
Hey, this snow boot thing is a lot easier versus those of us with bread bags on our feet and our moon boots, okay? I can guarantee it's an easier situation than what we faced once upon a time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the things that you do specifically with your students. What gets them thinking about ag in the classroom, and you know, just some of the ideas that you pose to them?
Mm-hmm. I think that our science standards and different things that we have, where we introduce the parts of a plant or working with apples and pumpkins, and we plant flowers with the high school agriculture department. It all stemmed from am I already teaching that I can easily link into the agriculture piece. And because in the classroom, there's not enough time ever, it seems like. you want to give them, you know, time to play and explore, but also how can I link it to things that I'm already doing?
And where do you start with some of the curriculum and resources that you use? Can you maybe share a little bit of like a lesson that you normally do at the start of the year and for kindergartners?
Sure. So I would start with an agriculture-based book. Maybe it's about the different types of apples or about an apple orchard, and introduce it to them that way through literature. And then we would maybe do some different taste testing or size comparison things as well. And then we do have a field trip to an apple orchard as well. Ooh. Where they can look into that. In the springtime, after we've done the barn and we have a whole unit on farms through our literacy, and once we're done with that, then we have a farm field trip. And after that, we make homemade ice cream and homemade butter. And we do that with our sixth grade buddies that we have. So the sixth graders come down and they help the little kindergartners get their ice cream all put in the bag and shake it up. And it's really neat to watch it
so
evolve.
Hold on. I'm still the same height I was in the sixth grade, so I could be a sixth grade buddy. Pencil me in for those days. They sound like the perfect time for me to stop by.
Absolutely. Welcome to visit anytime.
And I'm sure the sixth graders are just as excited as the kindergartners at that point, and everybody's learning together.
They really are. And even in the fall, I have them come down, and they want to drive the little tractors and explain some of the vocabulary to the kids and things. So it's always good to have extra teachers around when we're that little. So
sometimes we still need them today. When when you think about where you've gotten some of your resources sources from, have you worked heavily with the Minnesota Ag in the Classroom program, or are you able to just find things very randomly on your own?
They have a fantastic program, the Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom, and also the National. They have a matrix, and so I could take any science lesson that I had or something that I thought would match up to agriculture, which is a lot of different things, take those standards and type them right into the matrix, and it'll come up with a whole bunch of different lesson plans and things that I could use. So that's a wonderful resource. And then also I'm going out to the National Agriculture in the Classroom Conference, and I'll be presenting out there, but I also get to learn from a whole bunch of other people of how to integrate it into the classroom as well.
When we come back from our news, we're going to talk about that conference, because I believe you're headed to Rhode Island in with this award. We want to ask some questions about that, but then also I've promoted very heavily the Adopt a Cow program done by the Dairy Alliance, and we probably want to visit about that if that's something you've been able to use in the classroom too. And when we return, we're going to continue those questions with the Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Teacher of the Year, Marie Cruz from Lake City. How would you like to send a letter via the Pony Express just in time for the 4th of July? I have to share this little tidbit. The 10 Sleep and Hyattville Lions Clubs in Wyoming, they are inviting you to send a piece of mail via Pony Express. If you want, I've got the contact information for the Lions Club. They literally are going to pick up the mail in Hyattville on the morning of July 4th and deliver it to 10 Sleep later in the morning, and that will follow regular U.S. postal routes. Going to cost you an extra $5 for the delivery, and you get the special cancellation stamp for having done it.
When was the last time you sent a piece of mail off?
Oh, like today?
When was the last time you mailed someone a letter?
A letter? Does the birthday card count?
I'll allow it.
Okay, yep. So I would have sent a birthday card last week to my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. So it's not been that long now.
See, I worked at a Hallmark in college. So after that, you are required to remember everybody's birthday, anniversary, and always use Hallmark wrapping paper. It's the best.
I don't even know what day it is today.
I'll put a sticky note on your window later so you know.
Right on the forehead will work.
That's perfect. Like the guy in the Geico commercial. Yeah. So our guest today is Marie Cruz. She is the Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Teacher of the Year. And we're going to show some photos of what you've been doing, Marie, so those who are watching on our live stream can watch as well. But let's talk just a little bit about We'll probably have Addison roll at least a couple of those pictures and just talk about some of the things that you see there. And we want to visit about the Adopt a Cow program as well.
Yeah. So in our reading and our science, we are learning about the parts of a plant and how things grow and what they need to survive and living and non-living things. And so one of our activities was to go to the high school agriculture department and plant marigolds with them. And they have a greenhouse, so they grow up in the greenhouse and we get pictures once in a while of the as they're growing. And then it becomes the children's Mother's Day gift to give to their parents, to their moms. So they decorate the pots up once the marigolds have grown, and it's kind of a neat little thing.
So many lessons to go along with it. And the next photo we've got coming up actually does include a calf. So that leads to the question, do you use the Adopt a Cow program, or do you have something completely on your own going on there?
We do use the Adopt a Cow program, and that is an amazing resource as well. Like you said, everybody should be doing it because it can be as little or as big as you want it to be, really. So we adopt a cow in the fall, and it's somewhere in Minnesota, not anywhere near us generally. And then each month we get updates on how that little calf is doing and growing, and we can compare the height of the calf to the height of the kindergartner and the weight of the calf to the weight of the kindergartner, and what they need to survive and where they live and how where they live changes. And they kind of go off to little calf college and they have friends that they stay with rather than just staying in their little calf condo by themselves when they're a baby. Then to introduce that, we have a gender reveal. Of course, it's always a girl, but they don't need to know that. And so they vote on what they think, if it'll be a boy calf or a girl calf. And then we have another teacher delivers a little stuffy cow with balloons of the correct color to show us what our calf is going to be. And then that stuffy cow turns into a little take-home cow with a journal opportunity. So they take pictures at home of them doing different things with the calf, and then they bring it back with a little writing in it of what they've done, and we share that with the class, and then it goes home for two sleeps with another student. So it's really neat to see, kind of like a flat Stanley, but with a little stuffy cow.
That's awesome. And the adventures that those cows get to have. We have a mascot. I don't have him in the studio right now, but Cooper, our little Highlander cow, he'd be like that. But he doesn't get to go as many places as your calves get to go, I think. Now, interesting enough, you said you compare the height and the weight with the kids. I've realized I'm about two calves tall and about two calves weight. So I think that gets me about where I need to be for a cow.
And when the calf is fully grown, it's how many dads it turns into.
That's right. Yeah. Does this calf have a dad bod? Okay. So that program is outstanding, and I'm so glad to hear you're using it. Spoiler alert, I have talked to them about how I might be able to use that this fall, where we could have our own Adopt a Cow program here at the radio station and be able to follow our calf throughout the year. I think it'd be worth it. So, all right, we've got some other photos. It looks like it's not only cows, sheep get a big discussion talking point as well.
Yeah, so we have an ag day where the high school comes over and all of the grades and classrooms get a little time slot to go out, and the high school kids teach a lesson about their animal that they brought, or, you know, some different facts and things. And so this little gal was just enamored by the sheep, and her pictures turned out adorable.
So do you do anything where the kids get a chance to maybe be part of the shearing, or they just get to meet the sheep?
Just meet them so far, but now you given me an idea, and my husband will tell you that my ideas get real big real fast.
We suffer the same illness. I understand. All right. So is there a drive-by of farm equipment going on in our next photo from our students being outside the classroom?
Yeah. So this picture is from after I went to one of the National Agriculture in the Classroom conventions or conferences in Florida. I came home and I was like, how am I going to implement this now? What are we going to do? Not only in my classroom, but in the entire school. And we have an I Love to Read month in February. And so I partnered with a librarian, and we turned that theme into about growing and growing agriculture and learning different things. So each week we had a different theme, and one week was all about dairy, and one week was all about crops and different things that we implemented throughout the time. But our kickoff was an ag parade, and I reached out to our local ag partners, and they helped me hook up with certain farmers, and we made sure we had a variety of different ag equipment. And so I don't know who enjoyed it more, the kids or the farmers, because we had little blow up chicken balloons and little signs that said, like, thank you, we appreciate you, from the kids' side. And then from the agriculture side, they had little farm agriculture based books in their windows, even, and they're all honking. And we just put it out there of anyone could join, and they staged out at a local church because there was a big parking lot there. And at the end of the school day, then the kids were all packed and ready to go home, but they got to enjoy this parade, and it was incredible. They were jumping up and down and screaming and yelling and loving it. So
that's phenomenal. And
then at the end of the month, then I went back through, and we had taken a video of it, and I went back through and then narrated what each piece of equipment was and what it does for us. And so they got to watch that video back then at the end. And then to go even go back to the very beginning, I went to an implement dealership, mm-hmm. and drove up in a tractor, and then read a tractor book or a book about equipment and machinery for farming, just to give them a baseline to start off the month. And then we had this parade after that. So
I think we can tell why you're Minnesota Ag in the Classroom Teacher of the Year for all of the work that you're doing to bring this to the kids and the excitement that they have. A couple more things that we've got. It looks like the kids are having a little bit of a party. And I would imagine that it maybe involved all sorts of food, and they knew where it came from.
Absolutely. So I was able to fill out a grant and get some different scholarships and funding to get our classroom, little classroom farm that we have. And so the kids right there are immersed in that and just enjoying things. But, and I've said this other places, but my favorite thing is when they're in the little, like, I'm at home making things and they're making ice cream, and one of the little kids goes, oh no, we're out of ice cream. Someone needs to go to the farm and milk more cows. Yes, they're understanding it. It's coming together.
That's phenomenal. They are connecting all those dots, because really, from a farm perspective, this is our next batch of consumers. And so it's the best thing we could possibly do is to help them be informed and excited about where their food comes from and how it's processed. This is wonderful stuff. Really appreciate this.
Yeah.
So Marie, tell us a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's neat too for them to gain an understanding of how many people their food really has to pass through before it gets to them. So I like that part too.
Well, here in North Dakota, one out of every four jobs is related to agriculture and food production. So yeah, it's a big number. Now, you're headed to Rhode Island for the National Ag in the Classroom Conference very soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So because of this award, I am able to go out there, and they are funding that for me to come out to the conference. But there are sessions, and there's little field trips that they take us on where we get to see what agriculture looks like in a different area than ours. So I'm excited to see what agriculture might look like in Rhode Island. And I am going to tour some flower farms while I'm out there. I'm hoping to bring that back and be able to do some little after school classes with maybe flower arranging or growing somehow. And I'm hoping with our staff to be able to do a staff appreciation piece where they get to build their own bouquet or something to that effect. But the conference itself, I am going to get to present while I'm there as well. So I have a session about how to have an I Love to Read month in your school, or how to have a reading night. That's all themed around agriculture. So a lot of great things that'll happen while I'm out there.
That sounds phenomenal. And you really teed it up that there are so many different aspects of agriculture. You're going to see some cut flower farms. I would think about Rhode Island. Poultry comes to mind, as well as fruit and veggie production. But that shows as well what we do in this region and the variety we have. Just this week, I'll have guests coming up who are going to be here talking about folks from the perspective of a livestock vet, interns in precision agronomy, a turf farm from Missouri, and then we're also going to be talking about ag commodities, and we're going to round out the week talking about biological control for pests in crops. So, Marie, you have lots to share with students, and I am so excited to see that this continues, and thank you for all you do to bring this delight and the joy to the kids.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Our kids need to understand where their food and clothes come from, and this has been just a blessing to be able to share it with everybody.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't support you more, and please let me know if I can in other ways as well. So for those who are listening, take your cues from Marie. Get on in there and make sure that you are supporting kids in the classroom. Volunteer, whether it's with 4-H, whether it's with the elementary school students close to you. Let them know what you know about agriculture. And we're going to talk more about those headlines that you should know and a little check on the weather when we return. Spectacular afternoon out there with just a little bit of cloud cover, which may have dropped our winds down slightly. So those of you who are trying to get some spraying done in case of pop-up showers, get going. You want to get that 3 to 10 mile an hour window as soon as you can to get everything sprayed and taken care of. We are looking at a 30% chance of rain this afternoon, probably going to taper off towards late afternoon with a high right around 75 degrees where we're at right now. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood for those of us who don't want it to be 94 and humid. I saw Addison's head snap around. He's like, yeah, I don't want that.
Just disgusting.
I know.
Just disgusting.
It's not as pleasant as people hope.
I miss winter.
Well, I'm not quite ready to say I miss winter, but I can say I'm okay with these temperatures. This is my kind of week right here. Very moderate. I feel very good about it.
It could be nicer.
Because it could be cooler.
I'm tired of it being hot. I'm tired of it being humid. I'm tired of bugs.
Hey, you know what? The air conditioning is working in your room right now. So when we go back to winter at 78 degrees in there, I don't think you want that.
It works in here, but then when I go home, oh my God. I don't know who lives below me. I live on the second floor of my apartment building. They must be nuts. Because if I don't run my AC, it can be like a nice like 65 degree day.
Right.
If I don't run the AC in my apartment, my living room in my apartment is like 82 degrees.
So apparently there are penguins in the apartment below you.
They're about to get a strongly worded letter
door. Let me know if you need help with that. I'll be glad to be a part of it. But enjoy a good week of reasonably calm weather from the looks of it. After we get through some potential storms on Wednesday, things will roll right out to a nice weekend. And we might even hit those 75 or 80 degree days on Friday and Saturday. Now, as we have been talking about what's going on in beef these days, one of the things we forget about the beef herd is at its lowest numbers since essentially the Roosevelt administration, and it could be either one of the Roosevelts, really. But we are looking at the fact that we produce more beef per animal. In fact, USDA projects carcass weights have increased about 47 pounds within the last 2 years. So what does that mean to the actual animal? Well, there's some things to consider. When you have that increase in weight, you have to make sure you have good structural and foot structure and skeletal structure to support that heavier weight. Now, we're doing that through regular breeding. We are choosing to crossbreed those who have those good traits to improve other breeds as well. Just last week, we were talking about the American Shorthorn Association and how they are looking at better heart and lung capacity and less chance of cardiac issues within the Shorthorn breed. And so they're doing more breeding with those genetics to bring those positive traits to other breeds as well. So you can also have to factor in what happens with their internal organs. Now, besides that, when you consider that we already worry about heat stress on super hot days, when you have an animal that's larger, they're going to be hotter. And you've got to take measures to prevent that heat stress and more. That could be part of the problem for them. And then processing facilities. They haven't necessarily kept up. Animal processing facilities were built way before many of the animal sizes that we have now have been on the increase. And so you have to take extra time to move that animal through those processes. It can't be as mechanized as you might want because the animal size is going to be very different as well. Larger animals aren't going to move through handling systems very smoothly. And then once you have the harvest mostly complete, the carcasses have to be cooled. And because you have many plants designed to handle an 850 to a 900 pound carcass, but you're now getting 1100 pounds. It takes more efficiency, more cool to cool those off in order to continue the processing. And then it changes what you see at the grocery store. If you think about the value of a carcass, roughly 40% is tied up in the rib and the loin. And when you start to make some of those cuts bigger, you run the risk of having a retail cut that's valued more than what a shopper might be willing to pay. So keep that in mind. We are producing more meat, but there can be some drawbacks that come along with it. Speaking of talking about livestock, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow we will be joined by South Dakota State University veterinarian Dr. Russ Daly. He is going to be on the show with Justin from the Lakes, who's going to be filling in for me. I will be coaching the South Dakota Cattlemen's Leadership Academy down in Sioux Falls. And rather than slider in sideways last minute and maybe not make the show, thought it might be best if we just have someone sit in the chair and take over for the day. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be talking quite a bit about the New World screwworm. Facts, not emotion, not myths, but the real realities of what it may mean to our producers in this region in particular. If you are already thinking about your harvest help, what might you need? Well, there's a gal down in Nebraska, Ashley Babel, and she not only is an agronomist, but she also farms and raises cattle. And they have been struggling to find extra help on the operation. That's not an uncommon occurrence these days. And so she decided she could probably find a better way. And she's built a platform. It's an app and a website called Farmhand on Demand. It's a little bit like Match.com if you're looking for someone to work on the farm. The service is free for workers. So if you want to advertise your skills, services, and search for job openings, you can. But as an employer, you will pay a job fee listing. And you can get unlimited listings as well as other services like scheduling the interviews or doing background checks through the membership levels that are available. Now, not all listings are for traditional farm roles. Some are certainly there because you need operators and equipment. You may need people for a custom harvesting crew. Perhaps you're looking for someone who can milk cows while you're gone for a few days. But also, you might be looking for an accountant who specializes working in agriculture and with farmers. Or what if you need someone who can help you with social media, lawyers who are doing farm transition work, and so much more. So this is a bit of a clearinghouse for a number of services and opportunities. Again, it's called Farmhand on Demand. The site launched in February, and they are very steadily building an increase in the number of folks who are using it as well. Last thing to note, North Carolina blueberry farmers have a beetle problem. There is a new study from North Carolina State University that has identified a destructive beetle that is inhabiting the North Carolina blueberry fields, and it's a species of longhorn beetle. So this beetle is an emerging pest. They're laying their eggs in the soil at the roots of the hardwood trees, and then the larvae that can get 5 inches long consume and destroy the roots and kill the blueberry trees while the adults don't feed. This can actively put the industry set back on its heels because, let's face it, they've got to find a way to control this pest. Personally, I like blueberries, and those dark berries are great antioxidants. So good luck to those in North Carolina as they search for the solution for that problem. Thanks for joining me, and look forward to Jay Thomas. He's up next.